Well, I hear some sounds now.
All right. You are listening to FOW Live here on FOW Radio Network. I am Patrick, Danny Danger. You're with me. You're here.
We are.
We can hear each other now.
Only the fourth time we had to try. Technical difficulties with our server or something. Who knows? But we are here. Looks like Eric has just joined us. All three of us are here. Holy crap.
Are we?
I hear you. You're here too. Holy butt moly.
I mean.
In the grand scheme of things, are any of us really here?
Yes.
I mean.
I'm here, man. I'm present. I can pinch myself and feel myself. I know where I am. If you don't know where you are, I'm sorry. That's a personal problem. And it is that kind of podcast.
I was going to say, feeling yourself is not that kind of podcast, sir.
Yeah.
I guess it is.
Whatever kind of podcast we want to make it, the world is ours to make in what our own image. Yeah. So, well, wrestling and such, not weird philosophy.
All right, so the TV upfronts, it happened every May-ish around this time, where TV networks now go in front of advertisers and let them know what's going on for the fall season and what they got coming up. Give, advertisers a reason to pony up. And pay their mighty advertising dollars on their networks, on their TV shows. And well, the worst kept secret in pro wrestling, was official.
So are you trying to tell me it's not pro wrestling, that it's sports entertainment?
It's AEW going to have a second show, technically third show. Technically fifth show, but they canceled two of them. It's going to be Saturday nights on TNT, 8 p.m. And it's going to be called Collision.
Yeah, it's supposed to be starting soon, though. It's not like waiting till the fall season. It's coming in June, right? Just a few weeks, supposedly.
June 17th. The rumor was that it's going to be in Chicago, of course. So they can have Punk back. The dirty sheets are saying now that Punk may not be back. So big announcement from Tony K this Wednesday night, as he will announce where the first episode.
The city that it's going to happen is the big announcement.
And then in 2 weeks, the big announcement for the big announcement's coming. And then the big announcement after the big announcement. And then the big announcement for the big announcement.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it'll be the real big announcement. Like, this is the big one, y'all.
Is that the one where he admits he owns Endeavor?
Yeah. Yeah, that one's coming, brother.
So he's just playing the long game. Gotcha.
Yeah, of course. It's all about long-form storytelling with All Elite Wrestling, sir.
Yeah, they don't hotshot things every 15 minutes.
No, of course not. That doesn't make sense. Why would they do that?
Doesn't work for them, brother.
Nope.
They know what to do with every wrestler in their roster. So they're all happy there.
Yep. It's all a long-term plan. There's no, let's do this instead. Nope, it's all like written out 6-7 years in advance.
Well, hopefully get a submission victory.
So, don't they usually use Saturday night when they had to preempt some of their shows because of another sport?
I mean, I think so. I mean, they've done that in the past. I guess they would. I guess that would not be their go-to. Yeah, for Rampage or Dynamite. Yeah, I guess they usually would do Dynamite on Saturdays or something if there's a big sport meet during the week, but
not a sport meet.
Yeah.
The real sports, as they say.
No.
Well, that's nobody, just like Friday. Says that. No, I say that. It's okay. That's just like Friday. I tuned in like at 7 o'clock to TNT to watch the Celtics game, like the pregame stuff. And I was like, what the fuck is All Elite Wrestling doing on at like 6:30 in the afternoon? And
then they put it on at 6 o'clock
because the basketball game,
the playoff game was going to be on at their regular time.
Yeah. I was like, oh, cool. So now nobody's really going to be watching it because you can't see it because you're at work.
Gotcha. Yeah. Or I didn't even hear that. I mean, I guess if you pay attention to Dynamite, they probably mentioned it,
the product.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah. Yeah, that seems very shitty for them that they have to. But that's the problem when you have, you know, so much programming on networks that show, you know, things that aren't fixed in stone so easily, like all the USA Network programming is, you know?
Well, that's because they lost the Westminster Dog Show.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's not gonna be a sudden, you know, must watch live episode of Law and Order that's going to somehow take over, and you know, Crisley Knows Best isn't gonna have a live special that's somehow going to preempt Raw one time.
They might do a Crisley Knows Best episode from prison.
Yeah,
I'd watch that.
They just record it though, and then show it later.
I'd watch that. Todd, you'd have to, that's not my color.
You'd have to edit it just to make sure that, you know, you don't show the face of the people you're not supposed to, kind of thing.
That's fair.
All right. So, yeah. So I guess next time, you know, when there's an 8 o'clock game on a Saturday night and there's an 8 o'clock game on a Wednesday night. We'll be watching in the AEW at noontime on Saturday. Maybe they'll do Sunday night or something.
Yeah, you know? They'll make arrangements. I guarantee it. They'll find a way to get the product there some point in time. I mean, most people probably watched on demand in those cases, anyways. You know.
Probably.
Rather than having to go, oh crap, but I gotta watch it at fucking 4 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon, you know, like people aren't gonna be available to do that, so they'll just wait till they get home or something and watch it on demand or watch the next day when it's on Hulu or whatever.
Well, I think the good part about it is they're not supposed to start the show until after I think it was like June 28th or something like that, and that's gonna be well after even if it goes to 7 games, it's well after that. So,
well, no, I mean, I know not right away, but we're talking about,
yeah,
like,
oh yeah, no, in the future, yeah,
down the line, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. The first episode, yeah, they're definitely going to make sure that that's on a date. There's no possibility of something preempting it. But we're just kind of talking about in the future weeks once, various sports do start their seasons and that kind of thing.
Yeah, but hey, Okuda.
They'll find a way.
If that means the other half of the roster that they signed gets to be, highlighted and actually get to work.
But does this mean an All Elite brand split? But that's such a WWE concept. I thought we were here to do things that WWE didn't do that fans didn't like.
Well,
they're different, brother.
We're different and gonna change the world. And
what's gonna happen next? When Jericho finally retires, he's gonna become the GM of one brand, and
yeah, pretty, that's
the GM of the other brand.
That sounds about right. Yeah, yeah.
Brand split. You know. Yeah. Okay. My biggest question. I mean, I've seen the poster, right, that they placed here.
Yeah, with the people, who they have on it. Yeah, who they have featured on it.
Right. Yeah. They had the AEW champion.
Yeah.
They had FTR.
FTR, yeah, Punk's friends.
Samoa Joe.
Punk's friends,
yeah. Yeah, Andrade.
Who, I guess they're cool.
Supposedly, according to the Dirty Sheets, was also surprised to see himself on set poster.
he's probably like, still surprised. The fuck? I still work here?
Right. House of Black. Orange Cassidy.
Yeah.
But Hobbs, Powerhouse Hobbs. But here's the thing where I find it funny, right? I mean, I thought Samoa Joe was going to be exclusive to Ring of Honor. Not that he needed to, but I thought that was the case. I mean, he is the one of their champions.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, right? You get Andrade. You get Miro. And you get Thunder Rosa. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but from things I read in the Dirty Sheets, those are three slash people who have given TK some type of headaches.
Yeah, he's putting all of his problem children on the B show. Yeah,
which, you know, I mean, he's putting like the people he hasn't used in a while over there. He's putting the people, you know, FTR, Black. I forget what he calls himself. What is the new first name he uses?
Malakai.
Yeah. And Andrade all has supposedly, you know, a contract set to expire.
Okay.
I'm not sure what the status of Ripley's husband is.
Ripley and Buddy Murphy aren't married, I don't think.
Yeah, because Rhea's with Dom Dom.
That's just a side piece, bro. That's just a side piece.
Yeah, that's you know, once you listen there, Eric. Once you do a hard time, you get a mommy, right?
He probably had a daddy first, to be honest.
He probably did, but yeah.
Daddy issues. That's why we're here.
Yeah, but he was probably also sucking a lot of dick in prison, is what I'm trying to say.
I mean, he was only there for like one night.
Yep, he probably sucked about a half dozen of them in that time, though. Just line them up like a circus seal. Or, you know, just.
So I mean.
What the fuck?
That's Danny right there.
This man said, or. Is Titus O'Neil there?
I know, right? I didn't see a picture of Titus. It made me look for one, but no. I mean, so. I guess it's good that Thunder Rosa looks like she might be ready to come back.
I mean, I guess, you know, if she's not going to be a fucking terrible person like she kind of became at the end there, you know, I mean, she was, I had been a huge Thunder Rosa supporter for many years, one of my favorites on the scene. I loved what she was doing with her own promotion and mentoring, you know, other young talent and these kind of things. And then she does this whole handbag thing with Marina, and then, like, oh, yeah, no, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I made up with Marina. But then she's, like, mocking it and making fun of it and trying to make it as a gimmick to sell T-shirts. And then apparently, like, when she accidentally hurts Tony, is, like, flips out, runs and hides in the bathroom because she's afraid that Tony's going to come and beat her up or some shit. Like, it was – I was like, what person is this from where – she was, and you know, and then like she's hurt and she's injured, but like there's not a lot of talk about it, so it made it seem like, well, maybe it's not. And I mean, I don't know, lost faith in her very, very quickly with several actions that went against everything she had seemingly been about for so many years. Yeah,
yep.
Well, that's what happens when you become a booker, you know, they post everything by yourself.
Maybe. But, I mean, she doesn't wrestle for her own promotion. And it's technically her husband's the one who runs it and books it.
Mm. All right, back to Collision. So, and tomorrow we'll find out where, excuse me, where the first episode will air.
Yeah, where it'll happen. And then,
Panama City.
And then,
Sturgis. Hogwild.
We're taking a 2-week break, a 3-week break after the first episode. Because exactly what you do when you premiere a show. You take a break.
Really? They're going to have one episode and then take take 3 weeks off before they have another episode?
Sorry, I was reading this horizontally, vertically, not horizontally, so I missed 2 weeks. Never mind. I take it back. All right, sorry.
So what are they doing? Something looking
good. All right, so the 17th is the episode, somewhere to be determined tomorrow. Then on the 24th, they go to Toronto, Ontario.
Okay.
Fine. Sure, we're not skipping a week. However, we are changing dates because the third episode will be on a Thursday in Hamilton, Ontario. You know, because we want to make sure that people stay tuned on Saturdays and get used to it.
Yeah.
We're going to change it up in week three.
We're going to mix it up a lot so people forget and they lose track of where the show is. Yeah. That always works. Whenever a show's doing poorly, let's move it to a new night so that fans that do watch it can't find it right away.
Mm-hmm. Saturday night, July 8th, we're in Regina, Saskatchewan. Yeah, that's a
good job.
That's a big word.
That was actually how you say it too.
July 5th. Thank you. July 15th, we're in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
And then so they sucked up Calgary.
I know, right? So is this show just going to be broadcast from Canada?
Yes, this is a Canadian exclusive.
It's a Canadian exclusive show?
No, it's really not, but
just seems very weird that they're doing a lot that like they're going to be in Canada on Saturdays consistently.
Well, the thing is that this is in the middle of their Forbidden Door tour.
But Canada's not the Forbidden Door. What the fuck?
Yes. Forbidden Door is in Canada. It's in Toronto.
Yeah, but I'm just saying Canada was not the Forbidden Door.
No,
the Forbidden Door is not the doorway to Canada.
Right. But since
you're right. Forbidden Door tourists.
Yeah, so they're doing like a 6-show tour.
Okay.
So I guess
for Canadian. Going international. International. Eh? It's an international tour, eh? We're gonna be world travelers, eh?
Yeah. And they gotta keep it. They got to keep it international on July 22nd. They're going to New York, New Jersey.
Yeah, very international.
So that's what they're doing.
Okay.
For the first 6 shows.
So are those weeks Dynamite also going to be in Canada? Or is Dynamite is on this side of the border in Canada, and then the collisions on the other side?
That's a good question. Let's see what the interweb says.
So are the superstars going to be all staying and living internationally in between these shows like they do on WWE tours and stuff? Or are they going to be flying back and forth? Because that seems more expensive.
Let's see. All right.
Ain't no object for Tony Khan, son.
Well, that's true. On Wednesday, the 21st, they'll be in Chicago.
Okay, so they're in the U.S. Okay.
Then, AEW Collision in the 24th, Forbidden Doors on the 25th. So they're just going to be, after the Forbidden Doors, they're going to just stay there.
Okay.
It looks like AEW Dynamite and Rampage are getting taped.
Okay.
In Hamilton, Ontario for the 28th, July 5th in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Okay.
Yeah. And Saskatoon on July 12th for another, this will be just Dynamite.
He can say Saskatoon and Saskatchewan, but he can't say fucking Calgary.
Yep.
2 out of 3 ain't bad. Okay, calm down.
But you said the more difficult ones. What we're saying is humorous. The ones that are seemingly more problematic, Saskatoon and Saskatchewan, and you said those more correctly than Calgary, which is seemingly a very basic word compared to the other two. That's what we're making fun of. That the fact that you said 2 out of 3 is that you said the hard ones and you fucked up the easy one.
Well, listen, Don't ask of everything from me, okay? Remember, English is not my first language.
Good thing that.
How many years? How long are you going to use that as an excuse for, though, sir? How long have you been speaking English? You've been using that excuse longer than I've known you, right?
I mean, I think I've spoken right now. I don't think this is offensive.
Since 1994,
Eric,
remember?
There you go. Yeah. Right. Well, now that wasn't his music in WCW because that was the WWF music. Yeah.
I still remember staying up for that Clash of the Champions all nighter on TBS. You know, August 1994. I mean, good old times. All right, so yeah, I guess post Forbidden Door, they will be in Canada for a hot minute.
For a few weeks, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Of course, all roads lead to All In in London, which has been doing very well. I think over 60,000 tickets sold.
Oh, that's the Wembley show. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anarchy in the UK.
Not Double or Nothing, because that's selling terribly, apparently.
Oh, really?
They're giving away tickets, essentially.
Is Double or Nothing in Vegas again? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ticket sales are so poorly, you can get 4 tickets for $40.
Oh.
To the fucking pay-per-view. Imagine WrestleMania just showing up and be like, hey, guys, we can't fill the stadium. Here's 4 tickets for $40.
It's funny you could get 4 tickets for cheaper than the price of what you could pay to watch it at home.
I know, right?
You just got to get your ass to Vegas.
No thanks.
Oh, it's in Vegas. Oh, yeah. Trash.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, except for herpes. That shit comes back.
But yeah. I mean, kudos to them on the Wembley show, though. You know, I mean.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're doing a lot better than most people predicted. Yeah, some people were thinking they were going to, like, try to block off the arena to where it only had a maximum number of seats. But hell no, they're selling huge. I guess that makes sense why they would try to hold that show there in the first place. I had no idea that somehow there was such a large following in the UK for All Elite Wrestling.
There's not. It's just wrestling in general in the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, were the WWE, UK tapings doing that well?
Yeah, they sold out.
Oh, really?
They always do, yeah.
Oh. But they still decided to close the brand?
Well, that was just...
Oh, you mean those? No, they did pretty good.
They did very well. Oh, yeah.
The WWE International Tours always do well because they don't, they don't come around as often. So when they do, they sell huge no matter where they go.
And NXT UK did very well pre-pandemic.
Oh, okay. So mostly just pandemic costs that forced them to shut it down. Gotcha. Okay.
I think, once the regimes changed also, Triple H was starting to, consolidate things, bringing all the top stars from over there over here, easier to run things from here. It just makes sense, I think.
But I thought we were going to do like an NXT version in 20 different countries around the world, brother.
I think they're still planning on it.
Just not anytime soon?
Yeah.
Wembley's going to be, it's still not going to be completely packed. I mean, I think they're still going to block a good chunk of it. But yeah, I think for the amount of tickets they're going to sell, I think they'll be able to claim a sellout crowd.
Yeah.
So good for them.
Well, because they'll probably block off like a big section of seating to set up a stage, an entrance area and stuff on the actual field itself, because it's not, it's a football stadium. There are seats in all the way around. So they'll probably do that. It won't be at, same capacity it would be for for say a footy match, but
right,
you know, they'll probably, seems like it's going to be a huge thing.
Well, that's one thing I'm interested in seeing is how much of the state of the arena they use for a stage and how big of a deal they do, right? Because I'm not saying that they're trying to make All In be their WrestleMania, but we know how big and how all out WWE goes with their WrestleMania stage. I mean, to some people, it's kind of like, you know,
that whole entrance stage is part of the big attraction. Yeah,
exactly. So it'd be interesting to see, because I've never seen, other than the, you know, the chips and whatnot and things for AEW, I haven't seen them do anything else big for their stage. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, because that's a big arena. They're going to have to fill it up somehow, right?
Yeah.
It's because they don't want to just make it obvious that part of the one side of the arena is tarped.
So here's the thing, though. With the pulling this into WWE now, WWE had very successful events in the UK, you know, including the Clash of the Castle, you know, as a big premium live event. And they've had Saudi shows. You know, if AEW does successful with their quote unquote WrestleMania type event, you know, international soil, do we see, you know, is WrestleMania internationally going to come that much faster, or is this completely irrelevant to that?
Well, no, I think that WWE's open to that. I mean,
they've been open to the idea. I know that, but I was just saying, like, it seems that every time they go for cities, it's getting closer.
I think it's getting closer. But let's take a look at a couple of the factors, right? First, the Cardiff show was as similar as the Puerto Rico show, where Cardiff basically paid them to come, right?
Oh, see, I didn't realize that the Clash and Castle was that way. I thought it was
It was the same gig
as Saudi, as Puerto Rico. Uh-huh. Okay.
Same deal. So, and then now I think a big test is going to be Money in the Bank in July at the O2 Arena in London, right? I think they want it fair. Okay, well, we see what this special live event in Cardiff.
Right.
Now let's go to London, you know, and let's go to like the heart of the UK, and let's see how well we do on a indoor, you know, arena. You know, because I think the O2 is a basketball arena, right?
The O2s aren't open air, right? I don't think.
So I think that that's also going to be telling, okay, because they did Cardiff. Now they're doing Money in the Bank in London. I think that's going to be very telling for them. Okay, you know, is the demand there? You know, and I think that'll be very telling. I mean, because you guys think about it, they haven't had a premium live event in the United States since WrestleMania, right?
That's true.
SummerSlam will be the next one. So
they're
trying out the international market. Of course, you know, Puerto Rico basically bought Backlash, and the Saudis bought Night of Champions. So now here we go. Let's try the O2. Let's see how we do here. Money in the Bank. You know, I think that'll be very telling. I don't think they're gonna do it right away either, because you know they probably don't want the whole we're just following AEW either, right? So
yeah, nobody wants to accuse that.
I think it's coming. I think it's, you know, but I think it's the same reason why the UFC hasn't done an open stadium in the UK either, because I mean, especially at the prime of Conor McGregor and whatnot, everybody was clamoring doing a big stadium for fights, and they was always not ready to jump the gun, because stadiums, the weather, that can be a whole mess. I mean, you remember, Eric, how WrestleMania in Tampa.
WrestleMania, brother. Boo, ran wild for two whole nights.
So
Taylor Swift did a 3.5 hour concert in the pouring down rain. Boo fucking who.
Sir, not everything relates back to Taylor Swift. Okay.
Well, I mean, if the performers are going to whine and bitch about, it's raining, I don't want to go out there. Like, she's
running and hitting ropes and springing on ropes and things like that is a little bit different than standing and singing.
She does. And playing guitar and stuff. Sing. Her concerts are very interactive. Yes, she does run.
She's running the ropes and stuff in the rain and all that on a mat, not a hard floor. Yeah.
On a slippery LED screen. Yes, she is running.
Yeah. So yeah, I think we're getting closer to a WrestleMania overseas, but we'll see. I mean, there's still a lot of states that still want WWE WrestleMania here. No, I mean, I heard Minneapolis, Detroit, always Atlanta.
They're never coming back to Atlanta. Stop it.
I think they'll give them a chance.
No, they won't. Atlanta's a logistic nightmare.
I want to believe after the World Cup, they'll come over.
They won't. I'm sorry.
But yeah.
The closest we'll ever get is Tampa or Orlando. They're never coming back to, well, I guess Nashville, but they'll never come back to Atlanta.
I mean, Nashville is not doing another SummerSlam, but they did talk about Nashville.
They're doing Mania in like 3 years, yeah.
They're also one of the finalists, I hear. But yeah, anyways, we shall see. But yeah, we're getting all in Wembley. Good for them. But we're not there yet. Double or Nothing is happening in this Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern.
I honestly had kind of forgotten that this event was happening so quickly.
Yeah, I have another pay-per-view to watch on Saturday that's more important.
It's headlined by MJF, Sammy Guevara, Jungle Boy, and Jack Perry and Darby Allin in a four-way match for the AEW World Championship.
I might tune in.
Oh, yes, that whole quote-unquote pillars of the company. Whatever. Yeah.
Only one of those are actually any damn good.
Yeah. None of those guys can hold a candle to Darby.
Yeah, Darby's trash.
That's not true, and you know it.
I do not like Darby Allin.
I personally do not like the whole storyline. I don't, when they talk about being the four pillars of the company, I'm like, you kids would be nothing without guy, you know, Jericho.
Well, that's the whole point, is these are the pillars are supposed to be, you know, not, I think they're using the term pillars incorrectly.
Yeah, they are.
To try and mimic the four pillars of, you know, Japanese wrestling, Apuro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But really, they just kind of mean like the four, you know, four big homegrown stars. Guys who didn't really have a name anywhere else prior to the foundation of All Elite. And, you know, all they became stars. And now, you know, it's more kind of like the future pillars, you know. The guys who, in theory, will help the company grow, you know, are supposed to help the company grow for the next 10 years kind of thing. Not that they're the ones who built and or are holding up the company right now. But, yeah, they're just using the word pillars because it's a buzzword associated with the four pillars of, you know, of All Japan.
Well, that's even more wrestling now.
Noah and all that shit.
Yeah. And it's trash, honestly. Like,
yeah, it's
your company's been around for 3 years. There is no pillar.
Chris Jericho's the pillar. Okay, he's the guy who people knew that they paid attention to watch the company in the first place.
Exactly, him, Cody,
mm-hmm.
And then that was pretty much it at the time.
No, see, yeah. As much as, yeah, I know, because, I mean, we obviously we don't want to, the Elite, eventually, were the Elite, they, but I think they were just always the, how do you say it?
Well, at the same time, casual wrestling fans didn't know about them. You had, they had a diehard, super niche core audience that was very, very vocal and very passionate, but, you know, they were, those guys alone aren't going to attract viewers. You're not going to see pictures of those guys and go, oh, I know who those guys are, or, oh, those guys look super cool, I need to check them out. You know, like,
you're going to look at it and say, oh shit, hey, isn't that Stardust? Hey, isn't that Chris Jericho?
Yeah. What are they doing? I didn't think Jericho was wrestling anymore. What is he doing, you know? Or, oh, that's Dusty Rhodes' kid. I remember liking him 10 years ago. Like, what is he up to these days?
Hey, is that Sting? I thought he died.
No, he was born. He was. He did, but 3 days later he came back.
Hey, let's not forget Moxley. I mean, he did debut, I think, in the first pay per view,
which was like a year after they started, though.
Yeah,
they had the same pay per view the same year.
It might have been later in the year, but it was at least 6 months after. Because he had that whole New Japan run first.
Yeah, he was in the G1 and everything. Because
he didn't have his final first. Goodbye with the Shield until 19.
Let's see, when did they debut? They debuted in 2019? That was the first pay per view, May 25th. When did Dynamite start? Okay, October 2019. No, they just had their first. They Double or Nothing was just their first show.
Yeah, but he's saying like Moxley wasn't a part of the company.
He debuted at that show. Moxley made his debut at Double or Nothing.
Okay.
Maybe he, you know, I mean, he wrestled the show, but I think, you know, he made his debut there. And I think after that, I mean, they didn't have another show until they started doing the show. I mean, I think that's when it looks like there was a gap. Because, you know, Moxley already had all these dates before Dynamite started. But, no. They debuted or they basically started together. But yeah. All right. Double or Nothing. Yeah, so all right. I mean MJF is gonna keep the title. I don't see a reason why anybody the other guys will win the title for this. No. The only reason I see MJF losing is if he was indeed leaving.
Anything can happen in the All Elite Wrestling, brother.
Yeah. How about you guys?
I think anything I'm going to take a very good nap.
Anything can happen in the All Elite Wrestling, brother.
All right. Tag Team Champs, FTR defend against Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal.
Ooh, look, it's another nap.
Mark Briscoe will be the special guest referee.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that'll be another very good nap.
All right. I'll go with the bad guys. Why not? Jared Lethal. Ladder match for the TNT Championship. Wardlow versus Christian Cage.
Christian.
Yeah, one would think it's Christian since the ladder match, and that way also Wardlow doesn't get pinned, so somewhat protected.
I hope he gives them an unprettier off the top of
the Luchasaurus is going to help, you know, keep Wardlow at bay while Christian gets the championship.
I wish Christian would just come home.
He is home, brother. He's the only place that matters.
A 21-person blackjack battle royal for the AEW International Championship. So Orange Cassidy is defending the his belt in the battle royal
against 20 other people. Stupid.
Why would you do that?
Because you're Orange Cassidy, and you know he does dumb things.
They just ask him a question, and he just kind of stares blankly. So they just kind of accepted that as a yes answer when they asked him if it was something that he wanted to do.
Gotcha. Aaron Solo, Powerhouse Hubs, QT Marshall, and 17 other competitors
QT going to take the belt, brother.
Sounds like another good nap.
God's gift. QT Marshall going to take that belt, brother.
See, Eric, you don't have to call it a nap because by the time they're into these matches, it'll be bedtime already.
Oh yeah, it'll be like 2:30 in the morning before we even get to like match number 6.
Yeah.
Jamie Hayter will be defending the women's championship against Toni Storm. Go Toni. Toni.
That's Anarchy still going.
Anarchy. Their match hasn't even ended yet.
It's long-term storytelling, brother.
Anarchy in the Arena match. The Blackpool Combat Club versus the Elite and Hangman Page. Because I refuse to consider him part of the Elite.
So where in the hell are they going to do this at Allegiant Stadium? Are they going to do it actually in Jacksonville?
I don't know if it's going to be that like empty arena style or whether they'll just kind of do it anywhere in the building.
No, the Anarchy in the Arena is where they fight in the football fields.
That's okay. That's the empty arena thing. Okay. I don't know. I'm just more confused as to the eye patch gimmick making its return. It seems there's a lot of difficulties with ocular health there in the locker room.
Seth Rollins not even a member of this roster, so it's not like
I know, but Dean Ambrose had his little eye patch, and then Julia Hart had her little eye patch, and now Hangman has his little eye patch.
Malachi had an eye patch.
Yeah, Malachi had his weird eye thing after, you know, like long-term storytelling from the other company, you know. It's funny that, you know, they do those kind of things. It's like, guys care more about WWE storylines than they do half the time. They're doing all these things, not, you know, nods between, you know, people that are supposed to be ties into stories that happened elsewhere. Like, that's cool to, like, you know, but at the same time, like, build your own shit, you know. But yeah, it seems, I know Britt's a dentist, you know, so their dental plans probably help, you know. Probably taken care of, you know, they probably have decent dental insurance or at least, you know, recommendations of people. It seems like their ocular health department is kind of lacking.
Maybe I should give them a call.
Yeah. Yeah. See if you can offer them some suggestions on what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But seriously, though, like, as soon as one guy gets rid of the eye patch, like, they're like, oh, no, we got to have somebody on the show with the fucking eye patch. Quick, write something else in so somebody else has an eye patch now.
Where's John? It's like they have an eye patch deal.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe they get some. Yeah, they have somebody who, like, custom makes really expensive eye patches, and they have to constantly use this person. Otherwise, like, they don't get a good discount or something. They have to make X amount in sales, or they lose their discount. Yeah.
All right, Jade Cargill. I can never get her last name.
Cargill.
That's it. Versus Ty Valkyrie for the TBS Championship.
Versus whom?
Taya.
Oh, you just kind of you mumbled that one, so I didn't understand what you said. Versus Taya, I felt like they had a match already, right?
Yeah.
So Taya's getting another opportunity.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wish All Elite would fire Jade so that she could actually go to NXT and learn how to be a superstar. Because they literally are like, okay, she has a belt.
She's undefeated, ain't she?
Good for her in like 2.5 minute matches. Because she's limited. Because they won't fucking teach her.
Well, and then also they kind of limit her with a secondary title to where they don't want to put big names against her because they want to use those people for the main championship. So she is also working with people who aren't as experienced, which isn't necessarily helping her either.
Or Shaq. All right, Ethan Page and the Guns versus the Hardy Party.
The Hardy Party?
Yeah, that's what Jeff, Matt, and
Private Party call themselves. Cassie.
Yeah. Because I guess the other one's still injured. The other member of the
Gotcha. Party. Yeah.
The Mark. Hardy Party. How Jeff got another DUI, so maybe they should probably.
The Hardy Party is how he got all of his DUIs. Actually,
they should probably stray away from that.
It's like a Christian party, you know, they just drink like punch and, you know, and they play like, you know, Amy Grant songs and stuff. Like it's the lights are on bright. So you make sure that when you're dancing with the girls, you leave room for Jesus, like all that kind of stuff.
I really hope that Ethan Page and whoever else he's teaming with, because honestly, I stopped paying attention. I hope they win just because I don't need Jeff Hardy getting another DUI at the Hardy Party.
but is he more likely to get a DUI because of a victory party or because he's sad that they lost and the feeling of rejection and disappointment is too great, so he battles that with substances?
I think the answer to that question is yes.
Okay.
Adam Cole versus Chris Jericho in an unsanctioned match. That was sanctioned by AEW.
Somebody actually asked Adam Cole about that on Twitter, and it kind of popped me the response.
Why it was unsanctioned?
He was like, why did they have a contract signing for an unsanctioned match? That doesn't make sense. And he was like, because it's still sanctioned by AEW. And I'm like, but that's the whole point. It's unsanctioned.
No, that was the improper answer. The contract, the proper answer that you're supposed to say to keep the kayfabe is you were signing release of liability waivers.
Yeah, so that AEW is not.
So that AEW is not AEW or the arena or anybody involved is not liable for whatever you guys do to each other or whatever damages are done during this match are your guys' responsibility. Like if you guys go and bust up a Coca-Cola machine during your fight, like AEW is not going to cover the price of that Coca-Cola machine. That's on fucking you assholes. That comes out of your pay for the match. That's the correct kayfabe answer is you're signing, you know, you're releasing any and all parties of liability for what you do to each other or yourselves in that situation.
I thought the party was in the other match.
Yeah, it is. That's why they're not involved. But you want to sign a piece of paper so they know they're not involved.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's very complex, the storytelling over there. So
it sounds like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like they need some adrenaline in their soul.
They tried that. After a little while, you kind of grew a tolerance to the adrenaline, and they couldn't figure out how to up the dosage, so they just decided to cut cold turkey.
That's sometimes more dangerous.
Yeah, it really can be.
You think Jericho can, make Adam Cole a superstar?
Adam Cole is a superstar.
He is a superstar. Yeah.
I mean,
he just left WWE, and he shouldn't have.
He left. He left the brand that couldn't beat AEW.
Well, it was also a developmental show, so
it also was a developmental show. However, he was the top star in said developmental show. So, I'm just saying, I like Adam Cole to an extent, but that extent is very short.
That's a shame.
Yeah, so, very much so.
But you know, we'll see. Hey. At least he's undisputed, right?
No, he's not. That died 3 years ago.
He's all about the boom.
T-shirts that have the undisputed on there.
Yeah, they use the word undisputed, but they can't, of course, use undisputed era.
Mm-hmm.
He can call himself undisputed or, you know, the undisputed elite or whatever the fuck they want to call themselves, but, you know. But yeah, they cannot use the term undisputed era, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, he just got Roddy. I mean,
yep. Well, because Bobby done gone and Kyle's hurt.
Yeah. And by the time the Kyle gets back, who gets injured?
I mean, it could be any number of people. I mean, it's injuries seem to be happening very frequently the last several months. You know, I mean, we were just talking that, you know, Liv Morgan got injured, had to relinquish the Women's Tag Championships. Dakota Kai apparently got injured in that same match after Liv had been injured and was continuing the match, and she was trying to make sure Liv didn't get injured further. And then Mark Davis of Aussie Open apparently injured. They had to relinquish the strong open weight and the IWGP Tag Team Championships. And then on the 21st, Mercedes Moné breaking her foot or ankle or something, you know, injured, having to not only send the match home early but change the finish. Because I guess she realized that she was supposed to win and then she was going to have to immediately relinquish the championship and do a whole big fuck all tournament something or other again. So she tried to make the first win mean something a little more, and give it to her opponent. And then, yeah, it seems like those are just like in the last couple weeks, but it seems like we've had a lot of injuries. There are a half dozen women in NXT on the shelf for ACL injuries.
Yeah. Also, from Japan, Taiji Jimori, Bone Soldier.
Yeah. You were just saying him
draw from the
from the end of the Best of Super Juniors due to injury. You know.
Which I think I will say. I mean, it's something that happened, but he was close, but I don't know if he would have gotten that second spot. For the mini tournament.
Damn, what does it matter if he got the second spot? He got hurt.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying it's just like, you know,
whether storyline was going to allow him to do that or not.
It just sounds that it ended, you know, his tournament just ended early because of injury, and hopefully it's not a long-term one.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not sure. Yeah, because even the match had to be called. So that's crazy.
Yeah, if it was that severe enough that he couldn't perform well enough to continue the match. I mean, and, you know, Ishimori wrestles a very physical style, you know, to where there's a whole lot of movement and a lot of speed. So yeah, if it's a shoulder or a knee or something that's going to compromise your ability to do that, then yeah, I'm pretty sure that he would have rather just, you know, okay, let's just go ahead and stop it rather than, and, you know, try to continue and either end it look like shit or risk injuring myself even further.
Yeah.
this way. He wants the
super beautiful. All right. Speaking of the best of Super Juniors, Mike Bailey, top of the block A, he secured himself one of the spots in the semifinals. And Titan with 12 points. And again, mathematically speaking, he's got the second spot on the A block. So the A block set with Mike Bailey and Titan.
As spot A, number one and number two. Because that's one of the ways they're doing it that's different this year than they have in years past, is that it doesn't come down to the winner of Block A and the winner of Block B then fighting in the finals. They're doing the number one and the number 2 point getters of both blocks. And the number 1 point getter of A fights the number 2 point getter of B. And the number 1 point getter of B fights the number 2 point getter of A. And then the winners of those two then fight each other in the finals. So two people from the block could ultimately be in the finals. Two people who did not win the block of their respective block could be in the finals. So it adds a little extra dynamic and makes also gunning for that second spot a little more intense as well, rather than just, oh, okay, I'm, you know, 4 points back from the leader, like I'm not going to make the final. You know, like, oh, well, I'm 4 points back from the leader, I could still make that second spot, depending on who the second spot is. It kind of adds an extra wrinkle to it this year. As well as these full and vocal crowds for the first time since the 2019 tournament has really helped make a difference. Crowds have been packed. They've been fucking hot the whole tour, you know, and a lot of these guys, especially the juniors, you know, feed off of that kind of energy of the crowd during matchups. So it's really been made everything seem a lot more special, a lot more exciting, having the crowd cheer for their favorites and things like that.
Yeah, so very interesting. Coming to the last night of the B block with Yo, El Desperado, Master Watto all tied with 12 points, and Robbie Eagles, you know, with 10 points. Funny, because Robbie Eagles and El Desperado are facing each other. So if Robbie Eagles defeats El Desperado, that puts him in a three-way tie with Master Watto and Yo. Obviously, Robbie Eagles, you know, winning the tiebreaker over El Desperado.
He has the tiebreaker over Yo, but Watto beat him. So if Robbie beats El Desperado, Robbie earns the number two spot. And I think Watto, it would depend if Watto and Yo, who gets the number one spot.
Yo beat Watto, so
okay.
And did Yo beat Eagles?
He did not. Eagles. Robbie beat Yo. That was night.
I mean, Watto. That was Watto beat Robbie.
Watto beat Robbie Eagles, yeah.
And then
that's what I'm saying. So if Robbie beats El Desperado, he has the tiebreaker over Despy. He has the tiebreaker over Yo, but he does not have the tiebreaker over Watto. So that puts Robbie in the second position. Right.
Watto has, I mean, I don't want to say that he has the easiest one, but he's facing Kevin Knight.
Yeah.
Master Watto's got
Kevin Knight has the chance to play spoiler for Watto. Yeah. Since Kevin Knight's had, you know, hasn't had the performance that he would like, I mean, it's his first year in, he's still only a couple years into his career, really. You know, he struggled, but there's room for growth, and he's gained a lot of fans and exposure and stuff. But yeah, he's definitely the one of those, like, it's a quote unquote easy win possibly this year if you line up with Kevin Knight.
Yo facing over against Kanemaru. Kanemaru also only two wins in this.
Yeah.
So
but Kanemaru's made made his career the last several years in this tournament as playing spoiler, getting big wins over big stars, but then having difficulty consistently getting wins.
So mathematically speaking, anybody's game still.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be watching this last block set of matches to see who's going to come on top. But right now it could be anybody's game. But just one match go in a certain way will start, start thinking out things. So interesting. But, yeah, the top two from Block B will join Mike Bailey and Titan in the tournament, the four-man tournament. So, yeah, that'll be interesting to see. And, of course, like you mentioned, New Japan just had their show Resurgence here. Right? Was it Resurgence?
Yeah, Resurgence on the 21st, yeah, on this past Sunday.
And we crowned first New Japan Strong Women's Champion, Willow Nightingale, even if it was the second choice. What a night for Willow Nightingale.
Yeah. And it was very much, Willow's worked really hard the last several years to, gain a fandom and worked really hard to improve herself, and has gained a real following. She's had an opportunity at every single title that All Elite has. She's, earned herself her place within All Elite Wrestling. She's had a chance at every single belt they have for her, and she's lost every single opportunity. So I think that was a big move by Mercedes to see that, since she was not going to be able to go ahead with what was the original plan for that championship and be the first champion and carry it around and kind of help raise the prestige of it and these kind of things. She realized that the injury was not going to allow her to compete again right away. So they would do the win and have the moment, but then she would have to be stripped and then they'd have to have a whole other thing to crown the champion. She was like, hey, give this to Willow. Let Willow do what I was, try to do something special with it, similar to what I was going to do. So that's a big veteran move there on Mercedes' part. So now it's up to Willow to take that and fucking run with it.
We'll see what happens when the injured person wins the belt and has to relinquish it.
Yeah.
You have to start all over again.
Yeah.
Just give it to Will. I think she's definitely somebody who's been everywhere in the indies, worked for all the major companies not named WWE. And definitely a positive person and somebody who people can get behind. Let her shot, and kudos to Mercedes, just with a broken ankle and everything, just saying, hey, you take it and you do something with this. And then, hey,
yeah,
I'm sure
here's your opportunity. Do what you can with it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to help her break through, help build the women's division in the United States.
Hopefully so. Let's fucking go and see what you can do.
Yeah.
I mean, now's your time to make something great and make some history, be the first champion starting a new division, all this, do what you can, do something big with it.
Now, for the remainder of Resurgence, Juice Robinson defeated Fred Roser in a street fight.
Yeah,
whatever. Tony Storm came out to help out her husband. They are married, right? Yeah.
Yes. I felt that it was kind of weird when Roser was like, made the whole story about him, Roser talking about Tony and wanting her to be there so she could witness it and all this. Like, the problem is that it Actions like that are typically in wrestling kind of seen as heelish. When Juice was kind of supposed to be the heel in the feud, and now, like, who's the... They're both being heels, you know? It was kind of a weird dynamic to set up. Like, I get that Ross are still the face, but, you know, all this extra stuff and seeming with Tony, and then, yeah, she comes in to help Juice win. Like, that was a cool moment. People like seeing that. That wasn't like, oh, no, they're being extra villainous. It was like, well, he was mocking her and mocking them, and, you know, like, now she's taking it. Now she's getting revenge, you know? So it was kind of a weird dynamic thing because, yeah, fancy Tony come out. They're excited. This is cool. She's, you know, kick his ass, you know? But that's not how the story was meant for it to the reaction to be, but that's how it was because that's the way they told the story. So it was kind of strange.
Yeah. And, of course, that the next we had Kenta and Hikuleo in the for the strongweight open weight championship, and Kenta wins the match by count out, but not the title.
Yeah, I was a little surprised because it's typically in the past, you know, a count out win, you win the belt. So I was a little surprised that was not the case in this instance.
Yeah, well, I guess that's how it works in the U.S. Of course, we had Moxley and Yuta representing the Blackpool Combat Club with Shota Umino defeating Chaos.
Shooter.
Six-man tag. Will Ospreay defeated Hiroshi Tanahashi. So now Will Ospreay will be facing off against Lance Archer at Dominion. Mm-hmm. The winner, of course, going to Forbidden Door, most likely to face off against Kenny Omega for the US
title. Yeah, you know, because Kenny Omega doesn't want to wrestle for New Japan despite winning a championship there. So they got to make this whole big fucking thing to see, you know, to give a reason for Will Ospreay to fight him again, you know. It's fucking weird. I don't really like the whole tournament just to fight him because he doesn't want to come to the company, you know. But yeah. You know, whatever. That's what they put. That's the boat they put themselves into when they decided to bring him back and give him the belt at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, I mean, so now let's take a look at the Dominion card, shaping up a little bit more. We have Lance Archer, like we said, versus Will Ospreay for the number one contenders. Who do you like in that one?
It's going to be Ospreay. That's to build the rematch from Wrestle Kingdom that everybody wants to fucking see. That's what I'm saying. They did this whole stupid fucking thing just to set up the rematch because Kenny doesn't want to come and do anything with New Japan to just be like, okay, yeah, we'll set up a rematch. You know, we'll run some preview tags and all this shit. They got to do a whole big fucking 6+ month thing just to set up the return match.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next, after that, Dave Philly defends the Never Open Weight Championship against ELP.
David Finley is gonna retain. Fucking terrible.
I don't like
him. He's so fucking boring. Good God. So boring. To the point where, like, I don't want to watch the match because David Finlay is fucking boring. But, yeah, he'll probably keep... The Savage. He's not the Rebel. He was the Rebel, and then now I guess he's the Savage or something. I don't know. I mean, I think it'll be a really good moment for ELP coming out as a babyface, especially leading into G1. But yeah, I pretty sure Finley will win by hook or crook.
Mm-hmm. Zack Sabre Jr. will defend the TV title against Jeff Cobb. Is this Jeff Cobb's time?
I don't know. I mean, the last they went once already, and it was a draw. I could see this one going a draw as well. You know,
just all draws every single time.
I mean, not every single time, obviously, but I mean, the rules state 15 minutes. You know, and Zach has shown that, you know, he can be the master within that 15 minutes. You know, not he can either kind of wear it out and draw the time, or he can snap a win very quickly. You know, I mean, I could see this one going to another draw, or I could see, you know, a very quick, you know, kind of surprise type finish like Zach's been doing with his belt, kind of pulling wins either a submission or a pinfall, kind of very quickly in his favor. Mm. But I think Zach still walks out with the belt. But like you said, eventually you're going to have to give a championship to Cobb and let him hang on to it for a while. You can't just keep building him up to have him not win the championships.
Yeah, no, for sure. All right. Bishamon is going to be defending the – I mean, he's going to be facing off against House of Torture, Evil, and Yujiro. For the vacant IWGP tag team titles.
Wow. I mean, if House of Torture didn't win the fucking lottery on that, man. Like, Evil and Yujiro were nowhere near championship contenders by any stretch. But now with Aussie Open having to relinquish, they definitely found themselves very possible champions. I mean, I think Bishamon takes it, but... You know, the House of Torture has, you know, with all their shenanigans and all that, have pulled a lot of wins, you know, pulled wins out that people didn't think they would.
Yeah, for sure. Sonata versus Yota Tsuji for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of more interested to see, you know, Yota Tsuji, now that he's back from excursion, you know, I mean, they sure gave him that big superstar, you know, return and attacking and laying out the champion and, you know, seemingly like, is he possibly with LIJ? You know, he kind of threw up the hand sign, and then post-match he kind of went and scooped up Hiromu and carried him off, like, from the back or something, like, seemingly that he's, whether he's been made official as a member, he seemingly wants to be there, you know, as part of LIJ to kind of get back at Sonata for leaving them. Mm-hmm. But I don't really think that Tsuji's coming in to win. I don't think this is another Rainmaker Shock type situation with Yota Tsuji.
Right. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I think Sonata, yeah, it's going to be just fine. So, like, and lastly, the news was announced that New Japan Strong is making their New Japan Pro Wrestling, is their Japan debut this 4th of July, July 4th and 5th, I believe. New Japan, not New Japan, New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong is going to Japan proper. So they're going to, so the starts of Strong will be in Japan for a 2-day tour on July 4th and 5th. So
that's, yeah.
Interesting. That's
kind of, yeah. So, yeah. Since it was supposed to be kind of the American version of New Japan, seems odd. To bring them to Japan.
Yeah, only a handful of the roster from Strong has ever done a trip to Japan. But here we'll have the whole crew. So, hey, good for them. Come over and, you know, maybe attract some of the fans from Japan who may not necessarily watch everything overseas.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, some of the Strong guys, yeah, see who gets reactions and maybe, you know, earns themselves a spot in the G1 or something later this year. You know, if they think that the Japanese, if the fans will take to this person or what have you.
For sure. All right. Now, here we go. WWE has a big weekend ahead of them.
They got a big announcement this Friday night, brother.
First, the main roster is going to be heading over to Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, to, you know, as WWE presents Night of Champions. SmackDown was taped last week, and so that everybody could just do the travel and not worry about that. So yeah, let's go for it. Eric, are you back with us?
Yes.
All right, perfect.
Time to talk about your beloved.
Let's we only have 25 minutes because I don't know how we spend 50 plus minutes talking about AEW. But we're not going in any particular order. We're going to start with Becky Lynch in a singles match against Trish Stratus. They signed a contract. It's official at the Great Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. The present versus the past.
Go ahead and say what you're going to say.
I just thought it was funny. Woof, woof.
I hear you chuckling. Go ahead and drop your line before somebody else does.
I did it. I said woof, woof, bitch.
Oh, no, we didn't hear you because Patrick was talking.
Oh. That shit was so funny.
All I heard was you chuckling in the background, but I didn't hear you say your line.
Yeah, I didn't even hear him do the chuckle.
I got Trish.
Really?
Yeah, we got to run this through SummerSlam, bro.
Hmm.
I got Becky.
Like you said, I guess if they're running it longer, then you got to draw it out. I mean, if Becky just keeps winning, there's no point in running the match again.
Trish win the first one and then do the second match and have Becky win it.
And since there you go. Won. And then put, you know, you got to do 50-50 booking, but, you know, you got to put the kids over. It's a novel concept in WWE, I know, to put the kid over instead of the Hall of Famer over somebody 25 years younger than them and in much better shape physically.
WWE Cena over, or Theory over Cena, so.
That's what I'm saying. That was the very rare concept. I didn't say it was unheard of, but that's the exception, not the rule, is the thing.
One time everybody actually wanted Cena to win.
I know, right? Yeah, the one time everybody wanted them to hold true to the rule that they set, and they're like, nope, we're mixing it up.
Nope, fuck it.
Nope, fuck you guys. We know what you want, and we're going to give you the opposite and tell you it's what you want, you assholes.
Hey, listen.
That's the WWE way. We listen to the WWE universe and tell them what they want.
They do. They listen to them finally and say, oh, you guys hate Cena? Well, we'll make him lose. It's just too late.
Yeah, just like 15 years too late, yeah.
All right, next up, Rhea Ripley defends SmackDown Women's title against Natalya successfully.
Yeah, Natty doing the JOB.
That's Natty's whole business right now is putting over the kids.
That's all she's good at.
For the Raw Women's Championship, Bianca Belair will be losing her belt against Asuka.
I don't know about all that.
I mean, I certainly would love an Asuka championship, but the way you said that made it seem like there's some Bianca hate, sir.
No, not at all. I just made my prediction.
You made your prediction in the way you made the announcement.
Exactly. So I did two at the same time. Instead of announcing the match and then making my prediction, I did the combo. Try something new.
If you just hate Becky, or if you hate Bianca, just say it. I mean, that's all.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Hate is a strong word.
Bianca didn't do anything to you. I don't know why you hate her.
Okay, for the Intercontinental Championship, Gunther will be defending against Mustafa Ali.
Ali.
Yeah, I think it's Ali's time. I mean, I, you know, the way He's been talking. I showed Eric the promo that he put online because he was, you know, he was like, yeah, I was going to say this in front of the crowd. And then, you know, Brock Lesnar had thoughts otherwise. You know, Ali was basically kind of saying, like, if I can't win the championship in this capacity, like, what the fuck am I doing here kind of thing, you know? Like, you know, so I think, yeah, in front of, you know, the Saudi crowd, you know, a Muslim, you know, Muslim man winning a championship, I think it could be a star-making opportunity for him if you kind of send Ali out there and just, you know, let him say, you know, okay, dude, I'm dropping the silly stuff, like, I'm going to try to do what I've always tried to do and, you know, be a championship and a positive representation for people who look like me and have names that sound like mine. You know, I mean, you have him go out there and have Gunther just fucking ragdoll him, you know, have Gunther just do what he does and just beat the ever loving shit out of Ali. And Ali just keeps coming back and keeps trying to come back for more and keeps trying to fight back. And, you know, eventually catches a roll up or, you know, some kind of quick move that keeps him down just enough for a three count. You know, it won't do any damage to Gunther if the plan is to have him drop that belt and move towards the, you know, the soon to be top two belts. Either one of those. And then it'll do huge wonders for Ali. It'll be a star making type performance for him. To finally good on the fucking investment that they've spent on him for so long. You know, give him that big opportunity and let him run with it and see how he can fucking do.
Yeah, nothing's gonna happen though. How about you, Eric? Oh, you said Ali, right?
He said Ali, yeah.
Yeah. All right, for the Undisputed Tag Team titles, Kevin Owens and Sami defending against the Bloodlines, Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. Yeah, I think Owens and Sami are retaining.
I mean, would this be the first pinfall loss for Sikoa? Or has he been pinned before? He has not been pinned or submitted.
Oh, he did. He got pinned by Cody on the road to WrestleMania.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So still a rarity though,
right?
Because you're obviously not going to have Roman take the pin in this match.
Either one of them are going to take.
I could see Usos somehow, you know, trying to help, and that help backfiring to further the issues within the group. You know, as we go to Bloodline Black and White and Bloodline Red and White coming soon. That's the way I can see it to go. I think the bigger thing is both Sammy and Kevin going to Saudi Arabia. You know, because Sammy had been so against it, obviously, because of his heritage
against it. Also, he was not welcome there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's been so he didn't want to attempt because he wasn't welcome because there was some, you know, such battles going on between Syria and Saudi Arabia. But now that they're kind of in a ceasefire and peace accords are underway, you know, that in itself, I think, is a fucking newsworthy story. You know, and Sammy saying, "Hey, I'm coming here." I mean, seriously, that means the apocalypse is coming, right? Once there's peace in the Middle East, then it's time for the gates of hell to open up and the Antichrist to arise. His name's actually Donald Trump, and he was already president, so it's already started to happen more than you realize. And it's right here, and it's coming to fruition even further. But yeah, with Sami Zayn going over there, and then, you know, Kevin's like, hey man, if you're going, I'll go with you, you know, because Kevin didn't really want to go, large in part to you know, for his friend. You know, yeah. So he's like, hey man, you know, I wasn't going over because you weren't going over, so if you're going over, then fuck it, I'm not going to let you go alone, you know?
I mean, that's one heck of a payday at the end of the day.
Well, there you go. But at the same time, like, Owens wasn't hurting because he wasn't taking those paydays, you know? It's not like he couldn't pay his bills because he didn't go to Saudi Arabia.
No, for sure, but this definitely helps. Now he can go to Disneyland twice a year.
He's got the season pass, okay?
All right. So who do you guys have in this match? I don't remember.
You guys saying. We went over this already.
Bloodline.
All right. You said Bloodline. And you said shenanigans. Okay. Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar.
Brock.
Brock's going to beat him in about 45 seconds when he hard way smashes his face in a few times and gives him a concussion.
He's already got a broke arm, so.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going with Cody. Just because of broken arm. All right.
Then what should be the main event? Bob style and just... Honk.
Yeah. Seth Rollins. AJ Styles. The World Heavyweight Championship is on the line. Does the fact that Seth Rollins is filming the new Captain America movie does anything to prevent him from being able to be the inaugural champion?
Well, that's what some of the rumors were saying, is that there was some rumblings in WWE that they would be concerned that, you know, Hollywood would come calling and they, you know, he would take those bookings and, you know, that would whatever long-term storytelling, either as champion or as top contender, longer-term storylines for champion. I mean, there's a possibility with that, but also just because you're in a Captain America movie doesn't mean they, you know, you're going to become the next Dwayne. Like, George St. Pierre was also in Captain America, and that was pretty much a one-off. You know, mm-hmm. GSP was in the Winter Soldier, and it was supposed to be some big cool moment. Hell yeah, George St. Pierre, he's gonna be the next fucking Hollywood star and all this shit. You know, Hollywood action movies and all that. And it was pretty much just a one off. He got a shit kick. You know, he was in there for the first 25 minutes of the movie. He got beat up, and then you know he wasn't in the rest of the movie. And to my knowledge, there hasn't been any other major motion picture that George St. Pierre has been a part of. So doesn't mean that it's anything more than just, yes, he's going to be in this movie mm-hmm. and we'll have to do some promotion and that kind of thing involving it. It could go either way. I guess depends on if they're wanting to take the risk or not. Give it AJ Styles either way.
Yeah, I'm with Styles on this one.
Rollins, y'all are stupid if you think that Seth's actually gonna lose. They literally
went with
Seth for Seth Rollins.
But AJ's a better choice, so that's why they're giving it to AJ.
AJ's not the better choice.
He 100% is.
Yeah, I got AJ as well. Alright, so that's gonna be 9 of Champions. And start time, I think it's say 1 p.m. Eastern. Obviously, available on the Peacock at for everyone in the United States. And then the next night, at the same time that people are watching AEW's show. We are going to be watching the Battleground as NXT presents Battleground. Let's take a look.
I had forgotten that there was an NXT show this Sunday as well, as I had completely forgotten that there was a All Elite show. So, wow, I just didn't think that there was shit going on Sunday, and apparently there's a lot more than I did. I thought.
I had no clue it was this Sunday either.
Yeah. Oh. So Gallus defends the NXT Tag Team titles against the Creed Brothers. It's going to be a banger.
I think it's time for old Diamond Mine to slap a little more gold
around their group?
Old Diamond Mine.
Once upon a time. Ilja Dragunov will be facing off against Dijak in a last man standing match.
Rumor, of course, being that Ilja could be heading up to the main roster as a fourth member of Imperium.
Don't hate it.
Mind that at all.
Triple threat match for the NXT North American Championship as Wesley defends against Tyler Bate and Joe Gacy.
He has beat more people in a single match and better people, so I definitely think Wesley retains.
No love for the big strong boy?
No.
No love for Joe Gacy?
No. They're both pretty terrible.
Wow.
Tyler Bates, a British vanilla midget, man. The guy has no goddamn charisma.
Yeah. Speaking of midgets, Noam Dar will be defending the NXT Heritage Cup against Dragon Lee in a British Rounds Rule match, which I think Dragon Lee will win.
What in God's name is a Heritage Cup?
So NXT UK had a tournament, and they called it the Heritage Cup tournament. And then they gave that cup, and then they were just defending it.
He's defending the cup.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good for him.
They had two tournaments. The first tournament. The inaugural tournament of this cup was won by a kid. Then they had a second tournament.
Are you saying a child won this tournament?
No.
They let children wrestle in the UK. Heck, like, yeah, I know they get started early, like at like 14 or shit. But I didn't think WWE was pulling that shit.
No, his wrestling name is a kid. You would know him better as Axiom.
I certainly do not, no.
You don't know Axiom, he's in
Is that weird random mask guy?
Yeah.
We saw him at Vengeance Day.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That weird random mask guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They make Andrade and fucking Santiago take their masks off, but then they just take Santos. There you go. He'll always be King Cuerno to me, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Who had well established masks and history behind the masks, and like, no, you go ahead and take those off. Oh yeah, random little skinny British guy. Here you go. Here's a fucking mask that nobody cares about.
They gave Randy a mask.
He's not even British. He's Spanish.
He's Spanish from England? Spanish from Spain. White people say Spanish, it could be meaning they just speak Spanish. When Latino people say Spanish, they actually mean from Spain. I had to clarify.
He was born in Madrid, Spain.
Okay, yeah. White people just call that Madrid, too. We just call it Madrid. Like the Olympics were in Madrid, many years ago, whatever.
Were they? I thought they were Barcelona.
Maybe. See, white people just, it's all the same.
It was in Spain, regardless. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Which
isn't even the proper name of the country, but we decided we call it that. Yeah. It's easier to say than España.
The guy from Spain won a cup in the UK, then came to the US and put on a mask, called himself Axiom.
Okay.
All right. He was the inaugural winner of the Heritage Cup back in 2020. In 2021,
Dar won it, and then the brand closed, and Noam Dar decides he wants to defend this trophy.
Indeed. I mean, he defended it
twice. Oh, he's already defended before? Okay.
Yeah, he lost it and didn't want it back.
Okay.
Well, he's not very good at defending it then, is he?
I know, right? I mean, you won the fucking trophy. Why, what are you doing giving it away to somebody?
Yeah, he lost it to Mark Coffey.
I don't even know who the fuck that is.
Isn't that one of the guys at Gallus?
Yeah.
Sure.
He is. Current tag team champion. Yeah. But no, I'm not running like back.
Two coffees, right?
Yeah.
Joe. Like Mark and then Jebediah or whatever was the other one.
Joe. Anyways.
But you can't have more than one guy named Joe. That's why they had to get rid of Samoa Joe. Because you can't have more than one guy with the same first name.
So,
two of the same Samoan Joes.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotta get rid of the good one, man.
Yeah. No, so basically.
No, he's not.
Noam Dar brought this cup to the NXT in Florida and be like, I have a cup. Come take my cup from me. And so, yeah, Dragon Lee is going to help take the cup away from him. I don't know what British Rounds rules are, but whatever. All right, Tiffany Stratton versus Lyra Valkyra.
It's the same as the Duchess of Queensbury rules.
Okay. We'll be facing off for the vacant NXT Women's Championship. I think Stratton's gonna win.
It's tippy time.
Vacant fucking belts and vacant fucking belts and injuries, man. It's fucking terrible right now. Yeah, I think
Carmelo.
I think Stratton's still got a lot of work to do in the ring. I think there's a lot of athleticism there, but it's a lot of, you know, just needs experience and seasoning. But it seems like her character's connecting the way they want it to, so I think I could see her taking the division for the time being, at least.
Yeah, be the champion and develop. All right, yeah. In your main event, Carmelo Hayes will be defending the NXT Championship against Bron Breakker.
Mello.
As the heel Bron Breakker. Because his dad's a piece of shit, we realize he's a piece of shit by de facto, so he's a heel now.
I mean, he was gonna get booted, so might as well.
Yeah.
Mello's retaining.
Yeah, I think they're supposedly interested in bringing Braun up to Raw or SmackDown soon.
Yeah. So that is Battleground happening 7:30 p.m. Eastern on Peacock for the United States subscribers.
You can watch this whole show and then go watch Double or Nothing. You'll only have missed one match from Double or Nothing.
Yeah. So that's it for our show tonight. Like always, if you haven't, if this is the first time hearing the show, thank you. If this is not, continue to listen. Subscribe. Hit the subscribe button. You listen to us. iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Amazon Music, Spotify, and anywhere else. Follow us on the Twitter machine at FOW Radio. Danny's on Twitter at Danny F and Danger. Eric's on Twitter at EJ423X. Mika's on Twitter, even though she's not here. She's on Twitter at Mika Villas. I'm on Twitter at YellowmanPA. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.